There was a conversation going on in here before the service started about house burglaries, and I couldn't believe when I heard it. I thought somebody must have looked up in the notice sheet, found out what my sermon was about, and it triggered it, but apparently it didn't. It was just random. But I do want to talk about burglars. Most of us have had the experience at some stage of having our house burgled, and it's a fairly awful feeling. I may not have experienced it as much as some of you because I choose to live with dogs. I don't live with dogs because they deter burglars, but it is a nice side benefit. There was a time some years back here when I was living in the manse when we came home and there'd been some kind of disturbance. There was a bath towel that wasn't ours in the backyard. Although I did just work out recently, Shelley concluded that that particular bath towel actually came out of the men's toilets here and belonged to the church, and it's about time I returned it. But there was a bath towel in the backyard, and the wheelie bin was round at the gate instead of by the back door where it normally was. And at first we couldn't work out what it meant. But then we discovered that several of our neighbours had been burgled that week, and mostly the burglar had broken a window by punching it with a fist wrapped in a towel. And so we figured that the burglar had got as far as our back door, and whereupon the dog had come bursting out the dog door, and the burglar had dropped the towel and used the wheelie bin to fend off the dog while he backed out of the gateway. And Liz and Ian tell a slightly similar story about a police officer contacting them to say, "Keep the dog." I said, "What do you mean, keep the dog?" And he said, "Well, all your neighbours have been burgled this week, but your dog wouldn't let us in either, so you can probably thank the dog for the fact that you haven't been burgled." But, of course, sometimes I go out with my dogs, and sure enough, the one time that I was burgled in the last 10 or 15 years was when we went away for a long weekend and took the dogs with us. We got off fairly lightly. We didn't copy any of that turn the whole house upside down stuff that burglars sometimes do. It seemed that they were only after jewellery, which means that they probably didn't really choose the right house, but that is all they took, which meant I didn't lose anything. Margie lost some stuff. But it's still an awful feeling, isn't it? People often describe it as a feeling of being violated. Some stranger with malicious intent has been inside your home and fingering your belongings. It often leaves you feeling unsafe. Like, how do you know they're not planning to come back? Apparently some burglars who specialise in TV and stereo equipment or some other sorts of things as well deliberately plan to wait long enough for you to have processed your insurance claim and replaced all your stuff, and then they come back and get the new stuff. And the police will tell you that there's no such thing as a security system that can't be beaten, and that there are some burglars who see alarms and security systems as a challenge that they relish taking on and beating. So it's no wonder that burglary leaves us feeling a bit jumpy and frightened. I felt more comfortable preaching this tonight because I knew that Rita was actually going to be away, but Rita was burgled fairly recently and is still feeling quite, you know, a bit uneasy about that. Not sure I would have preached this if it was hitting a raw nerve, knowing that she'd be here. So, what's Jesus on about when he compares God to a burglar? And what are we doing using this image as one of the scripture readings when we open the season of Advent, with its focus on preparing for the coming of the Messiah? In what way are our preparations for the coming of the Messiah comparable to preparations that we make to prevent our houses being burgled? Well, it goes without saying that this is not one of the more attractive images of the Messiah in the Bible. In fact, it's always caused a fair bit of discomfort. A number of the preserved sermons from some of the great theologians and preachers of the early centuries have interpreted the burglar image as being the devil and saying that we have to make careful preparations to defend ourselves against the crafty attacks of the devil, which is perfectly true in itself, but if we're honest about it, it's not what Jesus was saying here. Keep awake, therefore, he says, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The devil does not get a mention in there. Clearly, the one being compared to the burglar is the coming Lord, the Messiah. And the Apostle Paul uses exactly the same image in his first letter to the Thessalonians when he says, you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now, I think there are two different ways of responding to this image, and both are good and true and probably both intended by Jesus. The first is a little more threatening and scary. It's a warning. When we talk about preparing for the inevitable, not if but when, coming of the burglar, we're clearly talking about preparing for something bad, for something that we want to avoid the negative consequences of. And at one level, Jesus is saying the same thing. For those who are unprepared, the coming of the Messiah will blow their world apart. There will be judgment. There will be radical change. And if you have invested everything in the status quo, then you will lose everything. When the Messiah comes to put everything right, if you are committed to the way that things were and are doing your best to profit from them, then you will be one of the obstacles that he has to deal with rather than one of the allies who will welcome the day of his coming. It's quite clear that this kind of warning is an important part of what Jesus is saying with this burglar image. You can tell from the way he uses the image in conjunction with the image of Noah's Ark. As we heard read, Jesus said, As the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now Jesus is not condemning eating, drinking and marrying. Jesus was rather well known for his enthusiastic participation in eating, drinking and wedding feasts, in fact. But what he is warning us about is just going about our business oblivious to the changes that are needed and the changes that are coming. Those people who were eating and drinking and marrying as though nothing else mattered had Noah for a neighbour. And Noah was building a bloody big lifeboat in his front yard for everyone to see. And he was telling anybody who cared to ask why he was building it. But it wasn't raining when Noah built the thing. So be prepared, says Jesus, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And to reinforce the point, Jesus makes it quite clear that he doesn't know what day either, which should make it clear that we are not called to be trying to work out when it will be. The unknownness is the point. You can't plan to turn your life around the day before he turns up. The other way that this burglar image can be read is related, but a little bit different. And in some ways a little bit more disturbing because it employs a stronger parallel between God and the burglar. But ultimately, it's a message of promise and hope. Jesus talks about the house being broken into by the burglar. And one of the words that we use to describe the coming of the Messiah and his kingdom is an inbreaking. The Messiah has to break in. The kingdom has to break through. Did you see that odd spot in The Age? I think it was on Friday, about the bloke who was trying to brick up the opening of an old cellar under his house and he mistakenly bricked himself in. But But then, rather than just break down the wall that he had just built, he broke down the wall into his neighbour's cellar instead. As Gord would say if he was here, mighty neighbourly. The image of the burglar is one who is crafty and scheming and who will stop at nothing to find a way of breaking through the defences and getting in. So is Jesus warning us to defend ourselves against God? No, of course not. He doesn't need to. We are already pretty good at defending ourselves against God. Some people even go to church as a way of defending themselves against God and anything that God is calling them to. So to us who consciously or unconsciously defend ourselves against God and against God's claims on us, there is a promise here. God loves you too much to politely respect your no. Like a scheming burglar who sees every security system as a challenge to be overcome, God will try every trick in the book to get through your defences and get your attention and call forth your response. Ultimately, God will not force you by violating your right to choose, but God will try every which way to sneak around or break through your defences so as to open your eyes and get you to choose what is right. So there's a warning in this image about the consequences of refusing to acknowledge God and being caught unprepared when the day of the Lord comes and all is put right. But there is also this promise. God will do whatever it takes to get through to you with the good news of God's love and desire for all that is right and good for you. God will do whatever it takes as shamelessly as a burglar will. Shiftiness, trickiness, subterfuge, disguise, perhaps even sneaking in among us as a little baby that no one would ever suspect. No, God wouldn't do that, would he? Would he?